We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the room for the Wisdom where Granny loves her purple kush before bedtime in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People try some plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, fly to fly the party, of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, it's tied to dead, and my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, should do, shake it, ooh, hey, what's gigging, I'm Pharrell with Carver High tonight, 844-843-6879 is the number, and I gotta tell you, Carver High, I was looking at the, again, the news tonight, and it amazes me that the numbers, the staggering increase in COVID is affecting everything like the Olympics. Like, I heard tonight that as many as 60, that's just right now, have failed COVID tests in Tokyo already that are like athletes that are supposed to be competing in the Olympics, right? So they got
just
Tokyo.
American athletes or athletes from all over the world?
All over the world.
Okay, gotcha. It's still a lot. I'm not trying to downplay the number. I just wasn't sure if that was just American athletes that had come from here or just athletes from every country throughout the world.
No, I'm under the impression, I could be wrong, but I'm under the impression it's just athletes in the Olympics. They've already had, you know, a lot of them showing up.
Yeah.
And there's 60 of them with COVID already. And that's just like right now off the bat today.
There's the events that start tomorrow. There's a couple of women's softball. There's a couple of things that get going tomorrow.
I thought the whole thing started Friday. They started the opening some ceremonies. Of the stuff early.
Yes, the opening ceremonies are Friday, but some of the events that take a little longer to complete, like that women's softball tournament, they start 2 or 3 days before the opening ceremony.
Well, there you go. So can you imagine how it's already, like, let's just say that it's the eve of events starting, and they've already got an unlimited number of, which is 60 is an unlimited number. It really is, because if it's 60 today, it could be 120 tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah. It could be 300 by Thursday, right? Like, I mean, it could be 500 by the weekend. I mean, you know, so what's happening is that in this country alone, in the U.S., the numbers are staggering from day to day over the last few days of what's happened with the Delta variant. Like, it's incredible, right? The numbers are staggering. It's like every 50 states, all 50 have increases, and they're averaging just exorbitant amounts of people getting it, being admitted to hospitals, and it's out of control. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us on the bench. So here's the deal. The numbers are blowing up, right? Just in this country, and it's crazy how many people are getting it and whatever. Now, obviously, there's people that are getting it more than others, and it's mostly people that are unvaccinated and people in certain areas, obviously, of the country where vaccination levels are the lowest. 1 in 5 that have it are from Florida, right? 1 in 5. That's crazy. So they have a problem. Texas is bad. Arizona's bad. Nevada's bad. Again, you heard today, Sal said he's going to Vegas, and they don't want people from LA going to Vegas. Meanwhile, the people in Vegas, there's more people in Nevada with it than there are in California. Now, I'm telling you that California in Los Angeles County, they shut it down in terms of everybody has to wear masks again indoors. But here's the deal. I saw this story tonight on the national news with Muir or whatever on ABC that he said they showed a map of where it's the worst. And I swear to God, California was not listed as one of the worst places at all. Not at all. And neither was New York. It was inward in the middle of the country. And it was from basically Nevada, you know, to the east. And then, you know, the bottom line is it's basically, for the most part, where I saw it's the worst is in the Midwest and in the South, like Florida, whatever, Texas. Okay, fair enough. And strangely enough, even though they've made those mandates about masks, California, it wasn't one of the hot spots. And they did it with this map. And the map, they showed red. And in red was where all the problems were. And I'm sitting here watching this. And the one thing that was unbelievable to me was how it was literally everywhere. All 50 states, there's been increases. And it's every day. So much so. Did you see that, like, the stock market today tumbled? I mean, just tumbled. It's a disaster all over again. All right, Pharrell on the bench. COVID cases and hospitalizations across the U.S. are out of control. There's an average of 32,287 new coronavirus cases each day over the past week. And that's from Johns Hopkins data, according to the Wall Street Journal. And it's double what the seven-day average was 10 days ago. The uptick is touching every state and D.C., with the seven-day average of newly reported cases exceeding the 14-day average in each place over the last 4 days. Hospitalizations have jumped, rising 35% between July 7th and the 13th compared with the previous 7 days. It's the Delta variant that's doing it. It's estimated to be 40 to 80% more infectious than the Alpha variant. First detected in India, Delta played a significant role in record-setting surge of infections there and has since led to increases in cases around the world. Existing COVID-19 vaccines are effective against the variant, though no vaccine is 100% from stopping it. They've raised concern, these numbers, with public health officials and investors. The U.S. stocks, oil prices, and bonds all fell Monday as anxiety mounted over the spread of the Delta variant. So the stock market, it was the worst day since 2020 when the COVID started. So you're looking at, you know, 17, 18 months. This is the worst day today. Federal, state officials pushing to get vaccines to undecided or isolated Americans. People refuse to get the vaccine, are so stupid. And they are convinced that it's a political conspiracy. How dumb are you? Is the question of the day. How dumb are you? I mean, it is so unbelievable. It's, first of all, you were stupid not to get it to begin with. Second of all, now there's a variant that's way worse than the original coronavirus, and it's 80% more contagious. And everyone that gets it, I heard tonight, literally, and I'm not even making this stuff up, documented, the CDC said that it's literally the most sick you will ever get in your life if you get it. They said that the Delta variant, you will never be sicker than this in your life. With any kind of flu or any kind of anything. Now, you could get, obviously, stage four, cancer, whatever. That's a different ballgame. We're talking about this pandemic, this bug, whatever you want to call it, is so bad that, well, first of all, the first one will knock you on your ass and kill you. It'll kill you. The coronavirus originally, just if you got it, you could, I mean, 600,000 plus people died in this country alone. Let's not talk about the rest of the world. But just in this country, over 600,000 people died of the original. And they're saying this thing is twice as bad as that. And it's running rampant everywhere. And then they're saying that most of the people that are getting it have no vaccine. They have not taken it. They're unvaccinated. And they're the ones getting it. And they're all dying. So you keep blaming it on the Democrats, or you blame it on Biden, or you blame it on conspiracy theories. You blame it on Trump. You blame it on the world. You blame it on God. You blame it. Who are you blaming? All I know is you don't get it. You're going to get it. And you're going to die. And then it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you think or how political you are. Nobody tells me what to do, or all these asshats that get on airplanes and refuse to wear a mask. When it's federal law, you wear a mask or you don't fly. You want to throw a fit on the plane? $10,000 in jail. Because you're never wrong. No one tells me what to do. I have my rights. I'm American. This is unconstitutional. Or these NFL teams that refuse players to get the vaccine and that are 50% or under, and they have to be at 85%, they're going to get it too. And then they're going to give it to all their teammates. And they're going to give it to their wives and children. But nobody tells them what to do. Like your boy up in your team. What's his name? Beasley? Nobody tells him what to do. It's his world. We're just living in it. And he's going to get it, and he's going to give it to his wife and kids, and then they're going to die.
What in God's name are you doing?
So we'll just see, you know. I mean, you know, we're weeding out the stupid, at least. Aren't we? I mean, we're weeding them out. We're just getting, I mean, we're just waiting for you to get it. We're just waiting for you to get it, and then we'll see how smart you are. When, you know what I saw tonight as well? I saw a doctor in one of the biggest hospitals in the country said that it's amazing to him how, and then not so many words in not exact wording, he said literally that there's nothing quite like seeing their reaction to me telling them they have the Delta variant, and that we're gonna shove a tube down your throat now for the next week and a half so that you can stay alive. Because if we don't do it, you're going to die. And then he said it's an amazing thing how they all start crying and whining and sobbing how stupid they are that they didn't get the vaccine. And then they're all scared to death, he said, scared to death when he's shoving a tube down their throat. And he said, there's nothing I can do but shove the tube down their throat and tell them, in not so many words, you know, kind of had it coming, well, didn't you? You morons. And then, you know, I'm sitting here going, I really am. I'm sitting here going, we're going to have an Olympic Games in Tokyo with this thing going on? Is that not the dumbest thing ever? That they're still trying to put this on, that they're literally still trying to have the Olympics, because I guess there's so much money at stake. They got to do something. They got to have the Olympic Games because so many people are counting on it. And all these athletes have trained and they've waited their whole lives for this. Fair enough. I'll give you that. They sure have. They were supposed to have this last year, if you remember. Now it's this year, and if you remember, we're going to do it this year. But they didn't plan on the Delta variant killing everybody. So now they're having this Olympics, and it's just written all over it. It's just written all over it, isn't it, that it's a stupid decision and that it's a disaster waiting to happen. And not only are they all going to get it, but then they're going to bring it home, and they're going to give it to their family and friends and their kids and their wives. And I mean, don't you understand? It's so contagious that they literally said today that in 5 minutes you'll catch it if you're in the room with someone with it. In 5 minutes, you're going to get it. 5 minutes, and you got it. Exposure 5 minutes, you're done. You got it. And it's over. Listen, I'm telling you. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life that they're having these Olympics. Who cares about the Olympics anyway to begin with, other than the people, I guess, competing in it? Fair enough. I'll give them that. I mean, honestly, Carver High, what do you think? Like, do you think they should be having this? I think they should just cancel it. People in Tokyo have been screaming for them to cancel this for months, for literally 12 months. They've been saying, don't do it. And then they're doing it anyway. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll get Carver High's opinion of it when we come back after we interview Harp. We'll do Harp time. The harp is flowing. John Harper of SNY will talk baseball with us. And then later, Carver High will muster up his opinion on whether or not we should have the Olympic Games. It's Terrell and a Bench. The harp is flowing again on the bench. John Harper of SNY TV in New York, the home of the Mets, joins us on the bench again. How you doing, Harp?
Good, Scotty. How you doing?
Hanging in, brother. Hey, so I'm watching this Mets game right now in the Queen City, a Great American, and there's been 23 hits, 4 errors by the Mets, but they're still winning the game 9-8 in the top of the eighth inning. They got a runner on first and 2 outs, and I think Alonso's batting. You saw their game maybe yesterday. I watched that one. What a wild game. The Pirates were up 6-0, and the Mets win it 7-6 on the Conforto home run in the ninth. I mean, the Pirates are just so awful. They're pitching so awful. I actually bet on the Mets against my Pirates, my beloved Buccos. And I've been suffering with them now for, I think, like 4 decades. I mean, longer than that. But, I mean, at least they went, you know, they had some playoff teams with Bonilla and Bonds and Van Slyke. And, you know, they had success with Drabek. But, you know, basically since then, every player that they have is gone. So, like, when they signed the first-round pick, the catcher out of Louisville, Henry or whatever his name is,
Davis.
You know, he'll be there 5 years and gone. Every player they have is gone. And then when I watched that guy Brubaker yesterday pitch, he's so awful. I think I could pitch better on a bottle of Belvedere. Like, that guy's just awful. And I don't – yeah. Watching the Mets come back on them, and then tonight I can't even believe they put up all these runs and they're playing so well after traveling to Cincinnati. What do you think?
Yeah, but your Pirates did the same thing to those Mets Saturday. They came from 6 down to beat them. They won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So don't give up on your Pirates. I know, they've been bad, but I actually think Charrington is a guy that can turn that around for you. But listen, the Mets, they're a crazy team. I mean, they've had a lot of late wins this year, a lot of comeback wins. They've shown a lot of grit. And they're lucky they're in the NL East. They wouldn't be leading any other division, but they do seem to have a little something where they can pull out games late. And, you know, they won that game where this kid Peraza took Hader deep a week or so ago, first guy to take Hader deep all year. They seem to have a little something going, but they got some problems now with DeGrom on the IL, with Lindor on the IL. So they're going to have to make some moves at the deadline if they're serious about trying to hang on to this thing. Even though nobody's really pushing them, somebody's got to make a move, I would think, behind them at some point.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is with DeGrom now on the IL, Lindor on the IL, do you feel like they can overcome that, or is that going to be too overwhelming for them?
Well, if DeGrom, if this turns into a long-term deal, I don't see them overcoming that. But if he's able to bounce back and pitch effective, you know, come back and be able to stay healthy in the second half, then I think they'll win the division just because nobody's very good in the NL East behind them. Now, the Phillies are starting. They've played a little better lately, but they can't seem to get out of their own way half the time. I don't think the Braves are going to do much. Nationals are losing again. But they need pitching. I think they're going to have to get at least one starter at the deadline. We'll see what Carrasco is supposedly now close to coming back. He hasn't pitched all year, but he is a guy, if he's healthy and he's right, he could be a number two type starter in that rotation. That would be huge for them. They're still hoping for Syndergaard at some point, but I think they got to go out and get a guy at the deadline. And maybe a guy, I mean, I don't know if the Twins are going to make Rios available, but he's the kind of guy that the Mets really need if they want to not only win the division, but make some noise in October.
When do you think, I know I've heard September for Syndergaard. Is there any chance of him being back before that? Let's say August.
Doesn't sound like it. And, who knows if you can even count on him then. These Tommy Johns are all different coming back from them. It looks like Sale's on a good track for the Red Sox. But I remember when, the Mets were counting on Wheeler a few years ago when he was second year back from Tommy John. He never made it back. And it took him a while, but he's turned into a great pitcher. He just some of these guys, it takes longer than others. I think they may, if it turns out to be not till September, Syndergaard might be a guy they end up having to use out of the bullpen more than as a starter, depending on, what he can give him. But I don't think they can count on it. That's why I think, Steve Cohen's got the money. They can go over the luxury tax. If they're serious about trying to win, and they should be because that division's given them the opportunity, they should be aggressive at the trade deadline.
So I thought John Harper with us from SNY TV. I thought that Rojas snapped on Sunday, and I said on the Coast to Coast my TV show today that I felt like I didn't know he had been suspended. I went on the air and I said that guy's got to be suspended. He bumped the ump a couple times. Like, he really ran into the ump a few times. And, I mean, he meant it. Like, he did it intentionally. And I thought he was going to hit him. I actually thought Rojas was going to haul off and hit him. Like, he lost his mind. And what was worse was, is that he was wrong. He was wrong about the whole thing. It was a fair ball.
Yeah. And, I tell you, you don't see many umps do that. I mean, many managers do that anymore. They're that aggressive with the umpires. I mean, there aren't as many arguments, obviously, with replay. But, he bumped him, and he was hot. My feeling was, watching the game, all of his frustration from the couple nights before against your Pirates kind of came out after they blew that lead, and then they had that crazy play Sunday, that fall down 6-0. It was like he was sick of watching his team, and he was going to take it out on the umpire. But who knows? Maybe it helped his team. I don't know. I think that stuff can be overrated when you talk about firing up your team. I think it had more to do with the Pirates pitching with Mets coming back. But it you don't see many umps go kind of over that line anymore where they're that aggressive. So, he deserved it. You can't bump an ump. He deserved to get suspended. It's not the same thing, but I'll never forget Pete Rose. That was against the Mets. I was covering them then when he came out and threw the elbow – through the forearm into the umpire. I can't remember the guy's name, but you don't see many of those anymore, that's for sure.
So refresh everyone's memory about what happened.
With Pete Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually, wasn't his name Dave Pallone, the umpire? I think it was, wasn't it? Rose just, I don't remember the call. I just remember coming, he came out and threw a forearm like he was throwing a block for a running back behind him. I've never seen a manager do that. And the place went crazy. It was in Riverfront, still the old Riverfront Stadium. The place went crazy because, Rose was a god then still at that point. Hadn't gotten into the game and hadn't been suspended yet. So I'll never forget that. And anytime I see an umpire, get bumped like that, it reminds me of that Pete Rose, that night with Pete Rose.
So my son went to the Mets doubleheader with the Pirates, going back whatever it was 10 days ago out at Citi Field. And he went with his buddy, and they got really good seats down by third base. They've got two games, I think, for the price of one. Whatever they did, it was like a back-to-back doubleheaders for you could buy one ticket and go to both games. So a line drive or something came right at him, and my son had the ice cream going. He had like a big old bowl of ice cream going or something, and he refused to get involved in the line drive, and his friend caught the line drive. What kind of grade do you give him there, Harp? My son... avoiding the foul ball to save the ice cream. Now, when I was a kid, I caught a Jody Davis has eyes foul ball at Three River Stadium. It went off the top cement of the upper deck and came right down behind home plate. I was sitting there with my dad, and it plopped right in my hands. I was the only guy, when the ball went straight behind over my head, I was the only guy in the entire section that turned around to see what happened to the ball, and it bounced off the cement, came right in my hands. Would you, Harp, lose your ice cream for a foul ball if you were a kid? As an adult, I know you would have ducked, but as a kid, would you have tried to catch the foul ball?
Absolutely. One hand on the ice cream, go one hand on the ball. Your kid's probably got good hands like you. He can make the one-handed catch, you know? And you got to go for it, though.
It's embarrassing.
And what do you mean?
Harp,
they had good seats. Weren't they screened in? Everything screened in?
I don't know.
Right?
All I know is they had good seats. I saw them. They were like right behind third somewhere. Maybe it wasn't a line drive. Maybe it was a pop-up. All I know is he said the ball came screaming at him, and he caught it. And I was like, why didn't you catch it? He said, I didn't want to lose my ice cream. And I was like, I mean, the kids are changing. They're always evolving. They're evolving. Like I would have grabbed that ball. I would have laid out two women and a kid, and I would have like cussed. I would have stepped on a couple people. I would have made
you'd
that.
You'd be the guy. They would have caught on camera, and they'd be all over you for not giving the ball to some little kid somehow.
That's right. And I wouldn't have given it to a kid. Here's the deal. The Yankees ended up taking 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. And they took 2 of 3 from Houston. They should have swept Houston. And Carver High, first of all, Carver High, are we out of time here and we got a break? Okay, so Harp, I'm going to hold that thought. I want you to think about the Yankees. There's not much to say about them, but my question will be when we come back, is it possible that they could get in the wild card conversation if they continue to win every single series that they play, be it 2 of 3 or 3 of 4 the rest of the way? Or are they already shot? Are they already toast? We're talking to John Harper of SNY TV on a bench. All right, so we're talking to John Harper. So, Harp, the Yankees are 3.5 out in the wild card. I know they've been an atrocity. I've never seen them this bad in a long while. And they have all kinds of issues with injuries and with COVID and with losing and with bad luck and everything else. I mean, it doesn't – like, you're up 5 runs on the Astros in the 9th inning and you lose the game. I mean, they've had everything happen to them. But they still took 2 of 3 there, and then they start by taking 2 of 3 from the Red Sox. One of the games was canceled or whatever, postponed. They're going to play it later or something like that. All I know is I said on the air today, if they win 70-75% of their games and win every series they play in, my guess would be they'd be in the wild card, because at 3.5 out, that's nothing.
Yeah, I think they'd win the wild card, or they'd get a wild card spot if they played that well. But I think that's still asking a lot from this team. They still got a lot of issues. The reason they blew that, well, one of the reasons they blew that game against the Astros, because Boone wouldn't bring Chapman in because Chapman had been so bad. He'd blown a game against the Angels that same week, like a 5-run lead or something. I don't know. I still think they got a lot to overcome. Their hitting's been really inconsistent, and the pitching's been okay. But, you know, they got – that division's tough. They still got a lot of teams against – a lot of games with those good teams in that division. I don't know. There's a bunch of teams in that wild card race too. They could do it if they play better, but they haven't played at a level what makes you think they can sustain that kind of baseball for the next 2.5 months. So, I don't know. I got to see it to believe it. I think they're going to miss the postseason, and then we're going to see, you know, heads roll probably.
Well, Hal said no one's getting fired this year, but he means during the season. At the end of the season,
right?
If they don't make it, and I don't, you know, the odds are against them. It's like you said, they have all these teams in front of them. Tampa and Oakland have the 2 spots, then Toronto, Seattle, Cleveland, all right there with them, and they're tied with Cleveland. Toronto and Seattle are a game better than them in terms of in the wild card. But if they don't make it, you know, what do you expect to happen? Boone goes, Cashman, both of them, at the very least Boone, right?
Yeah, Boone, I would think he's got to go. Yeah, Hal Steinbrenner, it's not his style. We know that. And he prefers to let Cashman make all those decisions. And Cashman doesn't want to make a move with Boone because it's going to look bad on Cashman. Because remember, he fired Girardi and brought Boone in when Girardi had just taken the Yankees to Game 7 of the ALCS in 2017. So that's going to reflect poorly on him. I think Hal, he would feel like he got to make some kind of move because fans are going to be really down on this team. And if they're not in it, you know, late in the season, the attendance is going to be down, TV ratings, everything else. And that's the bottom line is what Hal will react to. But I don't know if he would go as far as firing Cashman, even though Cashman's got a lot of to be accountable for in terms of the roster construction, the way this roster's built, the lack of left-handed hitting, some of the pitching decisions he made. But everything I know about the Yankees and been told is that he has complete faith in Cashman. Feels like he's done a good job in keeping this team in it. And in the postseason every year, for the most part, and with a chance to win it, even though they haven't won one in since 2009, which is a lifetime, of course, for Yankees and Yankee fans right. And their brand. But I just don't know if he would make that move. I don't think he would know where to go to get a GM. He'd have to get help. He'd have to get some kind of search firm probably involved or something. So I think Cashman survives even if they don't make the postseason. But he's going to insist on a change of manager because he's got to do something to appease the fans at that point.
Don't you think that in 2017 when Girardi took him to Game 7 that they were cheated and that, you know, at the end of the day, he fired Girardi where – you know, something had to change, I guess, in his mind. But at the end of the day, now looking back, hindsight's 2020. But looking back now, the Astros were cheating their ass off, and he fired the manager who he thought, you know, we need to make a change, and things aren't working like they used to. We haven't won it since 2009, so he fires the guy that took him there, and they got cheated. And is that not the truth? They got cheated. There's no doubt they lost whatever, but they were cheating. And everybody knows it. In fact, I think they cheated for 3 years until they got caught. Like the kid smokes weed until he gets caught and then says, I swear to God, it's the only joint I ever smoked. It's the only time I've ever driven drunk. Tonight when I got pulled over. I don't believe anybody in the Astros organization of how long the cheating went on for. But don't you think Girardi was the fall guy when actually – he should have never done it?
Yeah, looking back, awful hard to justify. It always was. Justify firing your manager, however you want to say it, after they go. And remember, that Yankee team at that point, they had just been kind of rebuilt on the fly. They had all those young kids. They were calling the baby bombers, Judge and Sanchez and those guys, and Greg Bird. And they weren't expected to really be a team that could go that deep into October that year. They beat the Indians. And then they take the Astros, who were heavy favorites to the Game 7 of the ALCS. So they were kind of a surprise team. You never see a manager get fired off a year like that. Cashman had his reasons. Felt like the Girardi's kind of intensity and that heavy personality was wearing on guys and wanted more of a guy who was going to be a little bit more of a communicator. Well, no, you can communicate all you want, but you got to get guys to play and and looking back, yeah, I mean, it probably was a mistake because Girardi knows how to manage. And maybe he was great and maybe he was wearing guys out. But, you know, just because players might be complaining about a manager doesn't mean they're not going to play hard for him.
I got to tell you, he's a way better manager than this guy Boone. And I got to tell you that I have nothing against this guy Cashman. He's done my show. He's been nice to me. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just going to call it for what I see. I believe in the last few years, he's done a terrible job. It's just that simple. Like, he's known he's needed left-handed hitting now for, 5 years? And he refuses to listen to anyone because he's so effing smart. He's smarter than everybody, and his analytics department is smarter than everybody. They stick their noses up at everybody. I don't know who's worse. The bottom line is the Yankees, the Canadians, they think they're better than everybody because they got all these banners. Fair enough. God bless them. They sure have. But in the last few years, don't you believe, in essence, he's been a defiant GM fighting people about how brilliant he is. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't need any help. Not only that, he thinks that he's the manager now because he hired a guy that's his a puppet, and he's the master of puppets, and he's running Boone like a marionette. And the bottom line is that Cashman's the one that's effed this whole thing up to begin with.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd go quite that far, but listen, you make some valid points because he has content, and they are so analytically driven now. They are one of the most analytically driven teams in baseball. And they do have all these right-handed hitters, and his point all along has been that he's got right-handed hitters who can hit the ball to right field, take advantage of that right field porch just like left-handed hitters. But it's kind of, in some ways, it's missing the point because you need left-handed hitters no matter what, because especially late in the game, these teams can use their relievers, stack right-handed relievers against right-handed, and they're going to be more effective against right-handed. You need some left-handed hitters,
right,
especially in that ballpark. And he hasn't done it. He gambled on Kluber, gambled on Taillon, and you knew Kluber might. There was a chance of him getting hurt after the last couple of years. So you got to see how it plays out still. But there's a lot for Cashman to be accountable for. And it's just a matter of and the other part, it's not all Cashman, but the Yankees really haven't produced many young players in the last few years out of their farm system. Heard a lot about how good their farm system was there for a couple of years, but a lot of these guys haven't panned out, especially their young pitching. Now, maybe Severino comes back from Tommy John, and maybe he's a difference maker in that rotation. But so I'll give him a chance to see how this thing plays out. But if they don't make it, Cashman should be held accountable.
Well, listen, we've been giving this guy a rope for years now. All we've ever heard, it's all the past glory and he's been there so long that people just think that it's inevitable that he's never going anywhere and that he's got the job for life. And I'm not one to buy that. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. It's the bottom line is that the proof's in the pudding, and it is what you are. Show me what you're made of. And that's what they've been doing for years now. And it's been getting worse. It has been getting worse. It's not been getting better. It's stayed. It's vanilla. It's plaid, whatever you want to call it. It hasn't worked. I have to ask you this question. I've got like a couple minutes left. The guys in Denver at the hotel with the ammunition, and the FBI said, "Nah, it had nothing to do with baseball. It was a drug and a gun deal." Then you have a shooting outside of Nationals Park. It had nothing to do with the game, but I don't care what it had anything to do with. The bottom line is people are getting shot outside the ballpark. I'm sitting there watching a Major League Baseball game, and I hear gunfire going off on national television. Don't tell me there's not a problem. How scary do you think it is now, John, going to sporting events in this country where you have no idea if you're going to make it back to your car or your house when you go?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that's kind of the state of our country in a lot of different ways. You can go anywhere and think that way. Ballparks start using metal detectors full time, which people don't want to see because of the delay that it'll cause getting into games. But that seems to be where we're heading. Maybe the Washington thing was an isolated incident, but it still scared everybody in that ballpark because just watching it and listening to people, you couldn't tell if it was outside the ballpark or inside. So that's got to be the most frightening thing imaginable because you have no idea where to go to try and go for cover. So, you make a good point. Unfortunately, that's a whole political thing too. The whole gun control thing. We don't. The AK-47s? Why can't they be banned? Who needs? I understand people want guns for protection, things like that, but you don't need AK-47s to protect yourself. That's for sure. So, until something's done about gun control.
You live in New York. Yeah. I live in New York. It's the city's out of control. There's people getting shot in Times Square, Chicago. There's 30, 40 people a weekend get killed. Denver, the guy had enough to start a war in the hotel. Chicago, Navy Pier Hotel, same thing. It's craziness. Let me ask you, the Padres and Nationals did a really good job of dealing with it. I thought it was great to see the teams help the fans. I got 40 seconds. At the end of the day, those teams, San Francisco, the Dodgers, and the Giants, and they're playing each other right now, by the way. Posey had a home run tonight. I got 30 seconds. Do you think the all three of them go to the playoffs and do well?
All three West Coast teams? Yeah, I got all three of the teams in the NL West making it. And, don't forget, we talked about this earlier in the year, and Padres are still my pick. I'm sticking with them, so I'm gonna go all the way with them, see if they can win it all for
me. All right. I'm going to see them play on next Thursday night at Petco on the 29th, my birthday. I'm going with 10 people to see the Padres and Rockies. I'm hoping not to get shot. My goal is to eat 10 Padre hats full of ice cream at the game. 10 Padre hats full of ice cream with sprinkles. That's the goal.
Don't forget to go for the foul ball, though, where you got your ice cream in one hand.
John, if I catch a foul ball, I promise I'll give it to you. I love you. Thanks for coming on the bench, Harp.
All right, anytime, Scotty. Good talking to you.
My man, John Harper, the best from SNY TV on the bench. So the Reds tied it up. Winker with a single, a two-out single to left, and he stretched it to a double. Now he's at third. Two outs, 3-2 count, full. Diaz is the guy that blew the game. They were up 9-8. It's 9-9 now. And the winning run is at third. And Votto's on deck. Votto's on deck. And I don't even know who this guy is because the he struck him out. He got whoever it was. I have no idea who the batter is because SNY Freeman doesn't show you who the batter is.
Freeman? Yeah. That's what it says
anyway,
here.
Anyway. Oh, all right. Well, there you go. So he struck out with the runner at third, but they tied the game. They were up 9-8. They blew it. Diaz blew it. And Winker drove in.
It is amazing. Like, it's just like Harp was just saying. Like, the Mets basically couldn't score a run for 3 months, you know, and they still won games, but they couldn't score a run. Now they're scoring 6, 7, 8, 9 runs every night, and Diaz is giving up grand slams to Stallings, game tying hits to Winker. Like, suddenly they can't pitch anymore. Like, they finally get some offense.
Was Diaz the guy that threw the pitch to Stallings?
Yes, he blew that game against the Pirates on Saturday.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm just being honest. The kid that hit at Stallings, it's the first I've ever heard of his name in my life. So I just tell it like it is. I've never heard
he's
of
having,
him. So when he hit it,
year.
I was like,
he's having a good year. I was like, playing for somebody else within 2 years.
Yeah. I go, is that Gene Stallings? I didn't know who it was, but, it was a great home run. I'll give you that. When we come back, I've got more staggering news about the COVID numbers. Staggering. Carver Hyde loves my positive outlook show tonight about all the people dying of the Delta variant.